Good morning, and you're all very welcome on this bank holiday weekend in May, first weekend in May. We are continuing with our study of 2 Chronicles, and we are in chapter 26 today. Just one chapter today, chapter 26. Now, once upon a time, there was a king. And he was the first king of his people. He was a tall, good-looking, athletic warrior that everyone looked up to, figuratively and literally, because he stood a head taller than anyone else. He came from humble beginnings. He was not from the most popular and larger families within his culture, but from one of the smaller families. When the judge and priest of his people arrived to crown him the first king, this man had been out looking for his father's donkeys. On the day of his big public ceremony to crown him king, the man was hiding amongst the luggage of the travelers. He was found and crowned king, and the people said, "Long live the king." Now you've probably guessed that that king was Saul, the first king of Israel. Samuel was the priest and last judge of Israel, and it was his duty to make sure that the king understood all that that God would have him do. Now, fast forward a few years later, King Saul was waiting for Samuel to arrive. Samuel was late, so King Saul called the priests to bring him the offerings and the incense so that he could present the burnt offering and peace offering to the Lord. Was that his job? No. And Samuel arrived just as Saul did what he was not allowed to do. Because of his pride and arrogance, he was rebuked by Samuel, and he eventually lost his kingship to a man after God's own heart, David. Now, at first, that may seem a bit harsh to us. He was only doing what he thought should be done since the priest was late. But the issue was that it was not his responsibility. The sons of Aaron and the Levites were the only ones who were to lead Israel in worship. King Saul was not ritually clean to do the offerings, and it was not his job. He was the king and the shepherd of Israel. It was his job to set an example of spiritual leadership for his people, leading them to the tabernacle so that they encountered God in the way that God had laid out for them. King Saul was the first of many kings who started out good, but ended badly. And Saul had other issues, but the main reason he lost the kingship happens in today's readings as we encounter King Uzziah, also known as Azariah, if you read in 2 Kings and in 1 Chronicles. But in 2 Chronicles, he is King Uzziah. And as we read through this chapter, we will see how great a king Uzziah was. He was just as good as King Jehoshaphat, if not better. We will see that when he became strong, he also became prideful. And that was his downfall. Then we will look at the lessons that we can learn from King Uzziah. So let me read through 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth, and he restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He went out and made war against the Philistines, and broke through the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, And he built cities in the territory of Ashdod and elsewhere amongst the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gurbal and against the Meunites. The Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread even to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the angle, and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness, and cut out many cisterns, for he had large herds, both in the Shephelah and in the plain. And he had farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of soldiers fit for war, in divisions according to the numbers and the muster made by Jeiel the secretary and Maaseiah the officer, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's commanders. The whole number of the heads of fathers' houses of mighty men of valor was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 who could make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and stones for slinging. In Jerusalem he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and great stones, and his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord, who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out, because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, wrote. And Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." And Jotham his son reigned in his place. Now when we think about Uzziah, and or hear his name, we usually think of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." As I've already mentioned, Uzziah was a good king, a great king, arguably one of the best kings of Israel. Yet he was also a man who was not perfect and had his own sins and weaknesses. And the earthly king, when he died, was ceremonially unclean. He was never able to go to the temple for worship during the last years of his life due to his leprosy. Compare his ending to the vision that Isaiah saw in heaven. Isaiah the priest, the prophet, knew King Uzziah. He knew of his pride and his downfall. God gave Isaiah a glimpse of the true King of Glory, the perfect holiness of the Lord sitting on the throne, and his holiness his glory filling the temple. King Uzziah was the picture of man's sin, and Isaiah saw a glimpse of God's glory. The opposite ends of the spiritual spectrum. But I'm getting ahead of myself. King Uzziah did start out well, and as king and shepherd of Israel, he did many great things in the eyes of the Lord. And so let's look at three aspects of how God prospered him by looking at his vision, the source of his strength, and his legacy. So first off, his vision. Uzziah means the Lord my strength. And this was appropriate for his life. He needed the strength of the Lord to accomplish all that he did. In these first two verses, there are a couple of things to notice. The first is that all the people of Judah took Uzziah and made him king instead of his father. In the previous chapter, if you remember from a couple of weeks ago, Amaziah's reign did not end well. He was taken prisoner by Joash, king of Israel, the northern kingdom. And after he was released, he basically abdicated the throne and hid in Lachish. He was the king, but he wasn't in Jerusalem, and he wasn't leading his people. The people made 16-year-old Uzziah, his son, the king. And technically, he was co-regent while his father was alive, but he was calling the shots until his father died. The other event to notice is that after his father died, he took the city of Eloth, or Elath, depending on when you're reading it in Kings or Chronicles, and he restored it to Judah. Now, why is this important? Eloth was a port city on the Red Sea at the crossroads of major trade routes. Solomon had taken the city and brought in a lot of wealth into Israel. This action by Uzziah meant that Judah had not seen riches like this since the time of King Solomon. It does not seem like much to us, but to the people for whom the chronicler was writing this history, it meant a lot to them. It showed them that Uzziah was a visionary and a strategic planner. Much of Uzziah's building programs were funded by that trading port. Now, verse 5 is the key of how he lived his life. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. God was the source of his strength. And as the shepherd king of Judah, he needed to show his people that the Lord was their strength. All that he did was because of the Lord. And all that he accomplished was because of the Lord. I mean, it started with the tradition of his family. His father and grandfather had followed the Lord. They were good kings who started out good. We talked about them a couple of weeks ago. Yes, they ended badly due to poor choices later in their lives, but they had sought to follow the Lord early in their reigns. And Uzziah knew that. He remembered and he desired to do the same. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. That meant that he set his heart towards God. As David was a man after God's own heart, so was Uzziah. He desired to do what was right, and he did this with the help from a dear friend. Zechariah was that prophet and priest and dear friend that was there during much of Uzziah's life. He was Uzziah's friend and mentor. He taught Uzziah the fear of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, he taught him all that the king was to know. In Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 to 20, God already had plans for when Israel was going to reject him as their leader and desired to have a king like all the other nations. So Zechariah would have taught Uzziah what is mentioned in verses 18 to 20, which say, "And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Jerusalem. He was to write out his own copy of the law, and to read it and study it daily, so that he would not be swayed by other people, and that he would be an example to his own people. That is what a shepherd pastor does. They live and practice what they preach. And as king, he was to lead by example and live a life honoring to God. As long as he sought the Lord, God blessed him. That blessing leads to a list of achievements or legacy in these next few verses. Now, one thing you learn about Uzziah is that he knew how to delegate. He had talented people around him, and he trusted them to do the jobs for him. Part of being a good leader is not doing everything yourself. You will burn out much too quickly. That said, read through these verses. He had a wide range of interests. A true Renaissance man, 2,000 years before the Renaissance. Verses 6 to 8 describes his military achievements. And who got the glory? God did. God helped him against their arch rivals, the Philistines and the Arabians. He broke through the walls of several key cities. Meanwhile, he took key cities and fortified them. And as his fame spread, another historical enemy, the Ammonites, paid tribute to him to keep the peace, for he became very strong. Three times it is said that he was strong, and twice that his fame spread. The nations around Judah knew that Uzziah was strong and that he was a follower of the Lord God of Israel. Twice we're told his fame spread, for he was marvelously helped. Helped by who? By the Lord. And verses 9 to 15 tells of his deeds as a builder and fortifier of cities, his love for the soil, his love for breeding herds of cattle. He hired the best farmers and the vine dressers. He built gates and fortifications in Jerusalem and other cities. He built up an army to defend the nation. He hired skillful men to design new military equipment and siege engines, as well as machines to defend the city. He built cities and hewed out cisterns. No, he did not do these personally, but he oversaw everything. As shepherd king of Judah, he did what was needed to protect and to provide for his people. He did this, and God made him strong. And Judah had not seen wealth like this since the days of King Solomon. But the chronicler does not sugarcoat the situation. Verse 16 tells it plainly. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Does this sound familiar? He acted the same as King Saul. He took it upon himself to do what only the priests were ordained to do. Now let's take a closer look at this. Uzziah grew strong. How? Because the Lord told him that he would prosper him as long as he sought the Lord. Seeking the Lord is an act of humility. It means that you recognize that there is someone greater than you. It means that you recognize that God is holier than you and that you need his strength, his wisdom, his salvation, his righteousness. Otherwise, you will fail. It means to follow the Lord's commands and to worship the Lord in the way that he has instructed. As king, he would have been instructed by Zechariah to write out his own copy of the law, as we mentioned earlier. But look at what Deuteronomy 8 says. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, And when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. See, that was the warning for King Saul, and he ignored it, and it was the warning for King Uzziah. God knows the hearts of men, and he knows that men will let success go to their head. Uzziah let his strength and fame go to his head. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. What was his sin? He did not turn wicked like many of his in his family history. He did not turn to idols or killing all of his sons. He did not kill off a meddlesome priest or lead his people to pagan rituals. His was not a sin of wickedness, but a sin of unfaithfulness. He was unfaithful to God, but taken upon himself to do what he was not authorized to do. It was a sin that took place at the very heart of the life of the people of God, in the temple. It is a sin committed in the holy place. Now, still, you may be thinking that what he did was not bad. It was not bad enough to justify being condemned by God. But the issue is one of obedience. The offering of the incense is a good thing when it was done by the right people. It was a holy task and not Uzziah's task. He took upon himself something which God had reserved for another of his chosen servants. Uzziah, of the house of David and the tribe of Judah, was the king. The priest was Azariah, of the line of Aaron and the tribe of Levi. These two functions of king and priest were separate for a reason. And there was only one person who would combine these functions. Those functions will merge in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was not Uzziah's place to do both. Uzziah was not worshiping the wrong God when he burned incense in the temple. He was arrogantly worshiping on his own terms. The problem was bad worship, disobedient worship. The danger of his strength and fame was his pride, and God acted swiftly. Azariah and the priest confronted Uzziah in the temple, and as soon as Uzziah became angry, leprosy broke out on his forehead within the holy place, in the presence of God and the priests. They hurried to get him out, and he became scared. He realized the problem, and he could not get out fast enough himself. The lasting effects of his sin was that he could never go to the temple again. He was ritually unclean the rest of his life. He had to live in a separate house, apart from everyone and apart from God. He started out his reign as king by ruling in place of his father due to the sins of his father, and now in the last years of his reign, he ruled in seclusion and loneliness as his son Jotham governed the land in his place. A sad ending. The sad ending was that Uzziah had disqualified himself, all because of his pride. So think back now again to Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Where was Uzziah when he died? He was alone, separated from God, ritually unclean, unholy. He was the exact opposite of what Isaiah saw in heaven. Uzziah needed to repent, and he needed forgiveness. He needed to humble himself before God. His strength and his fame was gone. He needed God. What are lessons do we learn? What is our vision? Well, the vision and future for our lives is to be with Jesus. First, we must realize that we need Jesus. We need to seek Him out. Paul wrote in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." As Uzziah had fallen short while in the temple, we are the same. We are not holy as God is holy. We cannot compare to His holiness. We need help from the Lord. And where is our source of strength? It is Jesus and only Jesus. Paul wrote in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God is our strength, meaning He provides the same for us, and that provision is through Jesus. As Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." It is nothing that we do or can ever do. We don't deserve it, and we cannot earn it. God gives us the gift and the freedom to choose and accept. So what is the mark of our faith, our legacy? Well, we won't build or fortify cities, most likely. We won't develop new machines for war or breed large herds of cattle or plant vineyards, most likely. Those things are not our legacy. What truly marks our legacy is how we live for Jesus. We are to strive to live every day for Jesus, with Him as our example. And what does that mean? Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, 1-3, "I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." And later in Ephesians 5, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Our life of discipleship is a journey until we see Jesus again in heaven. We are given the assurance of eternal life, so our mortal life should reflect that. We should honor Jesus daily in how we live our lives. Uzziah did until he became proud due to his strength. He forgot who made him strong and prospered him. What should we avoid? Well, we want to avoid the examples of most of the kings. We don't want to start out our life in Christ in a good way and then end up badly. Too many people have messed up later in life. We want to strive forward, as Paul wrote in Philippians 3, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. See, King Uzziah lost sight of God, and he put too much importance upon himself. He decided to worship God in his own way, which was selfish and prideful. He wasn't looking forward to the end goal of being with God, but dictated his own terms with God. We are to keep our eyes on Jesus and only Jesus, worshiping at the foot of the cross in all humility. We do not want the sin of arrogance in worship. We want Jesus and only Jesus, high and lifted up, seated upon the throne, with the train of His robe filling the temple, as all heaven sings, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Let's pray.